I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, June the 6th, as I get to come to you after a Phillies victory. The Phillies get back on the winning track with a big 6-1 win yesterday in Chicago against the Cubs in Wrigley Field. Just a fun place to watch a baseball game. I've been there a couple times, and just even watching on TV, it really is a magical place for baseball, and awesome to watch the Phillies get a victory there. Obviously, recent memories with the Cole Hamels no hitter there were have been good as well, but nice to see the Phillies get the victory after, you know, the rough weekend of baseball. 4-0, 2-0, 6-1 over the three-game series in San Francisco, the rough West Coast trip, heading back towards the East to stop off in Chicago. And the Phillies steal the first game of the series, and the bats get going a little bit, as that has certainly been the issue, as even Jake Arrieta calling out the defense as well. And Kapler, we'll get to that coming up. Kapler offered, as expected, a very measured, intelligent response to Arrieta. But first and foremost, we get to talk about a Phillies victory. Let's take advantage, especially against a good Cubs team. Kyle Hendricks, coming into this game, you figured the Cubs had the clear advantage from a pitching perspective with Kyle Hendricks going up against Zach Eflin. Hendricks has been really solid this season and good over the last few years as well. It was great in the playoffs for the Cubs. Terrific season that year as well. Just a really good pitcher. Not a guy who's going to overpower you with velocity or speed, but someone who just has great control of his pitches and has movement and all that. And the Phillies just able to get to him early. It was really exciting. We'll get to that in a second. But first and foremost, let's shout out on the Phillies side from the mound. Zach Eflin was absolutely terrific. 7 2/3 innings, only one earned runs allowed. They gave up that run in the eighth inning. Pitching deep, very efficient with his pitches, only 2 strikeouts, but also only 1 walk, 8 hits. So just about a base runner, printing a little over. Not a bad rate there for Eflin, as again, the strikeouts weren't there, but he did have some swing and miss stuff, some really nice pitches, and seemed to settle in after the offense got him going. Adubre Ramos was able to come in and get him out of the eighth inning after the jam. The RBI double given up to Anthony Rizzo, but those would prove to be the only, or that would prove to be the only run the Cubs would score, as Sir Anthony Dominguez comes in and does the awesome stuff that he does every time out in the ninth to shut it down. As the Phillies, again, great outing from Eflin in the bullpen, but more importantly, the big story coming out of this one, the bats finally get going. They get it going early as Nick Williams starts it off with a 2-run bomb in the second inning. Just got all of a Kyle Hendricks pitch that just didn't break the way he wanted it to, and Williams just planted that one, and a 2-0 lead early as the Phillies get on the board quickly. I mentioned Williams talking yesterday about him and Santana, in my eyes, have been the two Phillies who had been giving us the best at bats as of late, and Williams certainly comes through, 3 RBI on the evening. So nice outing for Nick Williams, as after that, the second inning, Hendricks gets out of it, and then it just all goes haywire for him in the third inning as the Phillies manufacture some runs, some old school baseball, as Cesar leads off the inning with a single, Odubel walks, Scott Kingery with just an outstanding bunt down the third baseline. Everyone knew Kingery was up to bunt in that situation at first and third. Kingery hitting in the 3-hole last night. And look, they won the game, but that's certainly a decision you could quibble with. But Kingery did have this bump was just outstanding. He did have a nice shot to the warning track that moved runners from first to second later as well. But Kingery, just an outstanding bunt, especially with everyone knowing the bunt was coming with runners first and second, no outs. And Kingery able to leg it out, bases loaded. And then Carlos Santana, outstanding at bat from Carlos Santana as he is able to work a bases loaded walk, something Kyle Hendricks never does. I believe they said his first bases loaded walk in 2 years. And Santana, especially a 3-2 pitch, takes the fourth ball, and it was as close as it gets, and it took a lot of patience for Santana to lay off that pitch, and he did it. It gets the run in. Aaron Altherr would follow with the sac fly, and Nick Williams' RBI ground out, as I mentioned before, would cap out the inning, and then Aaron Altherr would add another RBI single in the ninth to add the sixth run for the Phillies. Again, they win 6-1. How about this fun factoid? Is we talk so much about the bats needing to get going after the awful series in San Francisco where they scored one run on the Jake Arrieta home run and only had 15 hits all series, and of course had only scored two runs in the game prior to that with the Dodgers. Had scored 5 runs total over their 5 previous games, of course, getting 6 last night. But this is a fun one when you talk about everyone getting involved. The Phillies had 9 hits, and it was the 9 different players who started the game for them, including Zach Eflin. Every single player in the lineup had a hit. That's a fun little nugget. No one had more than a hit. 9 players, 9 hits. How about that for the Phillies? That is a fun little nugget from last night's victory. And the Phillies, again, really, it was fun to see them come out. I've talked a lot on this show about the resiliency that this team has shown so far this season, how it seems like every time their back is against the wall, every time they come off a really tough game, they bounce back. And I think that's a credit to Kapler. I think it's a credit to the group of guys. And I said yesterday, as we were kind of leading into this series, talking about the Jake Arrieta comments, and you know, in my mind, it's like if you can't get fired up about that, if you're an offensive player on this team or getting up to bat, and I know that Arrieta criticized the defense, which was stellar last night, by the way. Nice job defensively. A couple miscommunications, but it didn't end up in anything bad. Some nice plays actually out of it. But the Phillies do a good job against the Cubs defensively last night. But more importantly, if you're a player on this team and you're getting called out like Arrieta calls everyone out, as he did, you want to go up and put some runs on the board, some crooked numbers, especially with Arrieta getting the, you know, reception before the game at Wrigley, as he should, by the way. The Wrigley fans are and should be very grateful to what that man did for that team. The Cy Young, of course, the just outstanding second half of that season, the being a starter in a World Series game, winning World Series games, all that stuff. So he deserved it. Nice little tribute they did to him as well there. So shout out to Arrieta and the return to Wrigley. And again, nice to see the Phillies get a win. And speaking of the comments and coming up, we'll look ahead to games 2 and 3 of the series. Is Happy Nola Day, everyone. It's always nice when Aaron Nola takes the hill. But looking ahead here, looking back real quick before we look ahead, as the Arrieta comments, as we talked, probably ad nauseum about, and calling out the defensive shifts, calling out the team, calling out the accountability, and then everyone needs to play better. And Gabe Kapler, before the game yesterday, responded to it, and I predicted on this show that Kapler would have a really good public response to this, that so far what we've seen from him, every single time this guy has had something thrown his way, or, again, he's booed at home the first time he steps on the field in a Phillies uniform or whatever, he's handled it with dignity and class in a public forum, and he's had really good responses to the criticisms, and he's really taken it on the chin and said, I have to do a better job, which certainly sounds like some other coaches and managers and whatever we've had in this city before. But, Kapler comes off as genuine as he's saying it. Here was Cattler's response to Arrieta, which, again, I think he just he handled it brilliantly. Exactly what I would have expected him to say, but I'm happy to see that he did say. Here are his words speaking about the Arrieta, the Gabe Kapler comments on Arrieta comments. Kapler's response is, I think I may have a different take on this than most. The last thing I want is for our clubhouse to be content. If we're content, it means we're not getting better. Our clubhouse should be passionate, driven, like Jake, and only satisfied when we are clicking on all cylinders. I don't think we have defensive shifts figured out, he goes on to say. I don't think anyone has them nailed down. Jake's comments are true. We didn't play well, and we can be better. It's a good opportunity for us to sit down and discuss how we can improve our team. Personally, I don't mind Jake expressing how he feels about shifts or anything else. Ideally, he and I and our clubhouse leaders and staff should constantly be discussing ways to excel. Look, I know there are a lot of people out there who are not on board with Gabe Kapler, but like him or not, that is about as perfect a public response as a manager can give. I love the idea of, you know, he doesn't want people to be content. He wants people to be striving to be better. That's a great mentality for any manager of any team to have. But more so, and the passion that he speaks of, I love that. But more so, again, as I expected him to say, that he took culpability in saying, hey, yeah, we're not doing a good enough job with our shifts. You know, other teams aren't doing a great job too. We need to figure out what the best thing is, and it can help us get better. We should always be looking for ways to get better and open lines of communication for leaders and management and coaching staff to contribute ideas. And look, whether you think that's hokey or not, I think it's crucial to a successful organization of any kind for there to be a willingness and a want to for recepting ideas, for saying, all right, maybe I'm not doing this the best way it can possibly be done. Maybe someone else could have an idea about how this should be done that's better than my idea. And look, you know, some people might not believe that Gabe Kapler is really saying the truth with what he says. I personally do. And I think behind it all is a willingness and an honesty to say, I know I'm not perfect. I can be better, and I'm willing to be better, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be better, and I'm willing to shirk my own ideas to be better and to take it on the chin. And again, you know, this is not, I'm not trying to wax poetic about Kapler. He has certainly had his flaws so far this season. And, you know, you can again, criticizing him for the defensive shifts is fair. You know, he's the one installing those shifts, even if maybe the analytics department is obviously giving him a heavy hand in it, but he's the manager. So you can rip him for that. And that's fair. But again, just in terms of how he handles these things publicly, I've just been incredibly impressed with him, and I continue to be impressed with him. And I think this is just another case of him really just handling a situation that could be something that's volatile or seen as volatile, you know, maybe outside the locker room, or maybe not inside the locker room. Maybe those guys know the deal, but outside the locker room, whatever. And he's done a very good job of diffusing those things. And I think that's a quality that good managers have. And I think it shows an effective ability to communicate with people. So very impressed with the way Kapler has handled these things in public. So shout out to Gabe for that. And again, shout out to this Phillies team for a 6-1 victory in Chicago, moving to 32-26. On the season, as they played such better baseball last night all around than they did the entire San Francisco series. Again, obviously the bats get going, Elflin pitch as well. The defense was crisp and on point. Kingery played well at shortstop after I ripped him yesterday. And again, batting in the 3-0, that's a little suspect, but had a good game, so you can't argue too much with it. Maybe just a confidence builder to get him going. I think that's been maybe the biggest issue for Kingery. A, maybe hitting, you know, being asked to do an approach to the plate that's not natural to him, but more so, I think, you know, you get in a rut and you lack confidence. He's a kid playing for the first time in the major leagues. Everyone's going to struggle, and you need to bounce back and find that confidence again. And maybe putting Kingery in the 3-hole was something that could maybe instill that, especially with a nice night for Kingery as far as it goes. Not the best at bats, but certainly not the worst either. And some big ones with that bunt single that really, again, not the power flashing out of the 3-0, but a bunt single that was a huge bunt and a huge play in that game. So it mattered. All right, coming up, a quick note on how great Sir Anthony Dominguez has been so far. A couple more notes on the MLB draft as the Phillies round out their picks yesterday, as we will mention the top 10 Phillies, well, only top 8. You'll see why that is. And, of course, as I said, look ahead to tonight's game, Aaron Nola against Jose Quintana, and then beyond as well, and a whole lot more. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back, Phillies Today. I am James Seltzer. As we continue on with the Phillies victory show, which is a fun thing to say. I said it. I left for Miami to visit my 100-year-old grandmother, and the Phillies started stinking for a week. And then I come back, and they start winning baseball games again. Coincidence? Absolutely. But you never know. As I said, quick note, as Megan Montemuro of The Athletic, great Phillies beat, put this note out about Rodriguez. Sir Anthony Dominguez, after the Phillies win last night, he pitches another inning. She says, the ridiculousness by Sir Anthony Dominguez to start his big league career continues. 2 hits, no walks, 16 strikeouts in 14 and two-thirds innings. He's faced 46 batters. He struck out 16. He's given up 2 hits and no walks. My man. One more tweet from Megan Montemuro. I wanted to mention, she following up, J.P. Crawford moving along here. He had a rehab start. Rehab assignment transferred to AAA in Lehigh Valley. That is means, as she points out, the next step. Back in the majors, and as I mentioned, just from a defensive perspective alone, it will be a huge boon to this team to get J.P. Crawford back. As again, Kingery did a nice job at shortstop last night, but he's not a shortstop. And look, I think Crawford's bat will come around again. He is even younger than those other guys. He's younger than Hoskins, younger than Kingery. He is incredibly young to be in the major leagues. Obviously, a highly regarded prospect for a while, and has shown that he can hit and has a good eye at the plate. So I feel good that he will come around. He needs to bulk up a little bit, but defensively, I think he can really give them something right away that will help this team, especially when we've been talking about how much they've struggled with the shifts and just in general struggle from a defensive perspective. Adding J.P. Crawford back will only help. I promise you that. All right, a quick mention of the MLB draft before we look ahead to tonight's game against the Cubbies. As we mentioned yesterday, Alec Baum not only has an amazing name, I can't wait for all the Alec hitting bombs and Alec, you know, the bomb hitter and all that type of stuff. But a quick note, as we'll remind you, as I read some of the draft notes about Baum as they came in, I'll read you Keith Laws, another respected draft guy out there, obviously for ESPN.com. This was his note about Baum coming in. Baum projects to hit for average and for power with a simple swing that has the right angle to produce the real power, even with a wood bat. He has hit 15 homers this year and walked 38 times against 24 strikeouts while playing solid competition in the ACC. He's a good athlete for a big kid and plenty of arm for third base, but there's a chance he outgrows the position in pro ball. That sounds awesome. I mean, that's an outstanding scouting report. And again, I will harp on it. I mentioned it yesterday when we talked about Baum. I will mention it again today. 24 strikeouts and 228 at-bats. 38 walks. He walked 38 times to 24 strikeouts. That's the kind of plate discipline that you don't usually see for guys with this kind of raw natural power at this age. Awesome. And obviously, look, playing in college is a different thing than playing in the minors. And obviously, that's a whole different thing from playing in the majors. But those are the numbers you like to see. And I feel very bullish about Alec Baum and that this type of profile for a guy that they're drafting at this spot. I feel really good about his ability to contribute and maybe go through the minors pretty quickly. The Phillies, in their top 10 picks, as over their first 10 rounds, let's say, as we look at the first 10 rounds, they only have 8 players, as they did not have a second or third rounder. Those picks were given up for Carlos Santana and Jake Arrieta, as they were signed before. They are changing that rule next year, but the Phillies had to give up the second and third. They didn't have to give up their first rounder because it was in the top 10, so that made the signing of Santana and Arrieta more palatable, as they only had to give up a second and a third. Colton Eastman is the Phillies' fourth round pick, a right-hander from Cal State Fullerton, a guy who is not a high-velocity guy. Sits 89 to 92, I believe I read, but deceptive stuff. Not a very exciting type of profile. I talked about how much I like the Alec Baum profile in the draft. The guy who walks more than he strikes out and has natural power and is an athlete and all that. Not as much of a fan of the soft-tossing, deceptive right-hander profile. But you never know. I saw some people who liked him. I don't know much about the rest of the guys. They take an outfielder in the fifth from Notre Dame, Matt Vierling, a shortstop from Hutnell Square Academy in Georgia, Logan Simmons in the sixth, Gabriel Cotto, a center fielder, a catcher slash outfielder, from the Puerto Rico Baseball Academy in the seventh, Seth Lancaster, an appropriate name, shortstop out of Coastal Carolina in the eighth, Dominic Pipkin, a high school right-hander out of California in the ninth, and then Madison Strokes, that is a great name, hopefully he strokes some homers for the Phillies, a shortstop taken in the 10th round out of South Carolina. So that'll round out the top 10 rounds worth of Phillies picks. Again, Alec Baum, the one you can really get excited about. And Mickey Moniak was the first pick overall in the draft. Sure, he's had a nice couple of weeks. He has clearly been a bust so far to this point and has not developed the way they expected. So who knows? If baseball draft picks, it seems more than any other sport, are the biggest crapshoot there is. But this is the type of profile, again, that I like to see a team draft. First and foremost, as I mentioned yesterday and heading in 2 days ago to the first round of the draft, I'm a big believer in the philosophy of draft hitters pay pitchers, and at that age, it's so hard to project what these arms are going to be and how many times they're going to get hurt and how durable they are and all that. So I was really happy to see the Phillies, a draft hitter, but also draft hitter seems like one of the surest bets in this crew of hitters. And the other guy who went fourth, the next best hitter in my mind, obviously Joey Bart's goes out of them, the catcher, Joey Bart. But, they don't need a catcher in that same way. And I think that's also a defensive advantage for Bart as well. But Baum, Nick Madrigal, the guy who goes after him, is the next best hitter in the draft, considered by many. And he's a 5'7 guy, a 5'8 guy. Baum, a 6'5 athletic beast. I'll take my chances with that guy. Again, I think he's like a worse Chris Bryant as a profile. And who knows, maybe he could be better than that. Maybe he won't be anywhere close to that. But right now, I'm very happy with the pick and the potential for the pick. All right, quickly coming up in a sec, we will look ahead to tonight's game, Aaron Nola against Jose Quintana. But first, speaking of Aaron Nola and the best pitchers in the National League and the best pitchers in baseball, probably the best of them all right now, Max Scherzer did something last night that is one of the things that we don't talk about enough as being one of the coolest, most impressive achievements in baseball. But he had an immaculate inning last night, his second immaculate inning, as the ace of Spader, Ryan Spader on Twitter, who if you're not following, you should be. He is an outstanding follow. So many fun, interesting, great baseball facts he puts out there. But points out, Nationals' Max Scherzer joins, ready for this list, Lefty Grove, Sandy Koufax, Nolan Ryan, and Randy Johnson is the only pitchers in baseball history with multiple immaculate innings. Immaculate inning, of course, is 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches. The minimum amount of pitches you could throw to strike out 3 guys in an inning, obviously. That is an immaculate inning. And Scherzer appeared for the second time in his career. It's amazing. Last night, again, that list, Koufax, Grove, Nolan Ryan, and Randy Johnson. That is a hell of a list to be a part of as Scherzer certainly headed to the Hall of Fame with the career that guy's putting together. And you saw why is just an outstanding outstanding pitcher. Again, does it last night, 13 Ks on the night. All right, speaking of outstanding pitchers tonight, a big one. Aaron Nola with the chance to win this series for the Phillies. We talked a lot about them needing to just tread water during this month of June as we've got the Brewers coming to town on Friday for the weekend. As the Phillies come home, they'll play the Brewers six times in the span of 9-10 days right in there, the two series there, and just a lot of baseball, tough baseball coming up. The Rockies, the Cardinals, the Nationals, seven games against them, and the Yankees. So big one tonight, and then tomorrow a nice advantage pitching wise as Nick Pivetta takes on Tyler Chatwood, who struggled. But first and foremost, it's up to Aaron Nola tonight to get the job done, get them a win they need against Jose Quintana, who's a really good pitcher but has struggled a lot so far this season. Certainly has not pitched as well as he has shown that he can in the past. So certainly could bring it, but you have to feel good with Nola and Nil in any spot, especially one where the Phillies, you know, could really use a victory to get this momentum going and move forward from these Arrieta comments and the struggles and start to get on a winning streak, especially coming home against some tough games against some good teams coming up. So winning series in Chicago would be huge. Either way, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow and, of course, look ahead to Game 3, the final game of the series, as well as the weekend of baseball coming up. Either way, keep it here. We have you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.